Welcome to Delivering Miracles, a podcast to teach women like you tips and strategies on how you can have a safer pregnancy so you can bring home a healthy baby. I'm your host and your high-risk pregnancy expert, Farijat Deshpande. I can't wait to chat with you. Not too long ago, I met up with a friend of mine for some coffee, and it was a beautiful day. We sat by the window. We both had these warm cups of coffee in our hands. Well, she had coffee. I had hot chocolate because I don't drink coffee. I know. I don't drink coffee. But it just makes me feel completely crazy if I ever drink it. So I stay away from that. So I had my coconut hot chocolate in my hand. She's got her coffee, warm drinks in her hands. And I see her stare out the window. There's clearly something on her mind. And she was a friend that doesn't easily open up, at least not to me. Maybe she has other friends that she opens up with. But this time, I could tell that she wanted to talk about something that was on her mind. You know, you get that feeling when you're with somebody that they want to tell you something, but it's hard to say. So I reached out first. And I asked her, you know, hey, are you okay? What's going on? She took a deep breath in and looked down at her cup of coffee when she told me that she and her husband were having a really hard time getting pregnant. They'd been trying for 18 months. And she laughed with some tears in her eyes and she went, that's not normal, right? And my heart broke for her because she knew something was up. And yet it was so hard to really acknowledge and really let herself go there and really give herself that space to say, okay, there's a problem here. And so we talked about it for a few minutes about how she was feeling and how hard that was and how hard it was to see friends of hers getting pregnant so much faster, and she didn't understand what the problem was for them. And then she asked me, so do I have to do IVF? Because that sounds really scary. And I went, oh, no. IVF is so many steps away from where you are right now. And it occurred to me that she had no idea what the options were for her to grow her family. And it sounded like from that moment that IVF sounded way too scary, maybe something she wouldn't even consider, or maybe she'd think about it, but she really didn't want to do it. It didn't sound appealing to her, obviously. I mean, if you've gone through IVF, you know there's really very little that's appealing about it. It's so hard on your body. There's so many hormones involved. You hear all these horror stories of how these hormones make you feel. It's not fun at all. But what really struck me was that that's what she was afraid of. And that's part of the reason why they didn't go see a doctor for so long. Is part of it was because, well, they didn't think it would take that long. They really just psyched themselves up that the next month is going to be our month. Next month is going to be our month. They really wanted to believe that. And the other part of it was they really genuinely thought IVF was the next step, and that sounded terrifying, which anyone would be terrified at that, of course. So we had a really long conversation about what the different options are and what the steps are and what you take for each of those steps and what you do for each of those steps to figure out if that is the right step for you. Because there is no one size fits all when it comes to fertility treatment or how you grow your family. It's not like school where everybody goes to kindergarten and then everybody goes to elementary school and then everybody goes to junior high and then everybody goes to high school. And then if you go on the college track, then everyone you know goes to college and then maybe everyone you know goes to grad school. And it's just like kind of a set path, right? It's not like that with fertility treatment. There is no one size fits all when it comes to fertility treatment or how you grow your family. You've got to listen to your body to know which options are best for you. Now, with that said, I recognize there are a ton of options. So I thought today it might be a great idea for us to just break down at a high level all the different options that there are so that you have an idea of which ones might be options for you. Okay? So if you are struggling to get pregnant, and that's whether you have children already or not, okay? Primary infertility and secondary infertility are both very, very real. For some, you have trouble getting pregnant with your first. That's considered primary infertility. And for others, after you have your first, you go on to have your second very easily and it's fine. But for many more, after you have your first, it is still a challenge to have a second, which I want to do a whole other episode on secondary infertility specifically, because I think it's something we just don't talk about enough. But really briefly, to give you an idea of what it is, it looks like it's not real because people on the outside think, well, you had one. And even you might think that, right? I've had one. I should be able to do this again. And you go back to the same protocol that you did, maybe, you know, whether it was conceiving naturally or getting some fertility treatment. But you think, okay, it worked last time. It should work again. And it doesn't necessarily work that way. And it can be infuriating and so devastating and really isolating because people seem to have less compassion and less empathy for people who have or going through secondary infertility because they think, well, you've got one. You should be grateful for that one, which, hello, if you've listened to any of the episodes that I've shared here, you know that is something I do not condone saying to anyone who's hurting, right? And it leaves you feeling very alone. So the fertility treatment options that I'm going to review today apply to either group. So whether you had trouble having your first or you're having trouble right now, okay, so either you're having trouble having your first right now, or you had trouble with your first and you're having trouble with your second, or you did not have trouble with your first and now you're having trouble with your second. Okay, any of those groups that you're in, whichever group you're in, this is going to be helpful for you. Okay, so the first type of fertility treatment is natural fertility treatment. What do I mean by that? What I mean is that there are certain types of therapies that teach you how to enhance your fertility naturally. I'm not necessarily talking about lifestyle changes because those types of interventions need to be happening no matter what type of fertility treatment you're going on or whatever type of treatment you're trying, okay? What I'm talking about is there are methods, natural methods where you can track your cycles, where you can enhance your cycles, improve your hormones naturally to help you get pregnant quickly. Okay. One that comes to mind is the Creighton method. And I don't know very much about it. And I think, you know, if anybody's interested in learning more, I'd be happy to do a show on that. So let me know if that's something that's interesting to you. But there's a very particular method that they teach you on how to enhance your fertility naturally so that you don't necessarily need to escalate to further treatment. Okay, so that's option number one. And there are trained professionals who you can work with both virtually and in person with these natural methods to help you with that. Okay. One thing I'll say here is your doctor, if you ask about it, they're probably going to say it doesn't work because they're trained in a very specific style of fertility treatment that does not include these natural methods. These are they're alternative practices. Some of them are holistic, but they really don't cross over very well into Western medicine. So if you are interested in learning more about it, I would recommend reaching out to one of these practitioners and learning more about their style and maybe even talking to some of their previous clients so you know what it's all about before you take the leap. Okay, just putting that out there. So that's number one, the natural method. Okay, number two, another type of treatment is Clomid or Letrozole. It goes by different names depending on where in the world you are. In the United States, Clomid and Letrozole is what we call them. Femara is the brand name for Letrozole. It's basically a pill that you take to stimulate the ovary to produce a follicle. Now, in your ovary, you've got, as you know, right, all girls are born with, we're born with all the eggs that we're ever going to have. We don't create more as we get older. And so your ovary at the time of ovulation produces a follicle that grows and grows and grows until it's time to ovulate. And then the egg from inside that follicle bursts out, goes into the fallopian tube, hopefully is inseminated, and that turns into an embryo, which then goes down the fallopian tube into the uterus and ideally implants into the uterus. And you've got the start of a pregnancy right there. For some women, they don't ovulate regularly or they don't ovulate at all. And in those cases, taking a pill like this can help you to ovulate. Because if you don't ovulate, there's zero chance you're getting pregnant. Zero. There's not a lot of certainties in fertility. This is one of them, right? You have to ovulate. Otherwise, you will not get pregnant. And so if you notice that your hormones are off, if you do the blood work, or if you know that you're having anovulatory cycles, which means you're having periods every month, but you're not ovulating, that can happen. That can show up as your cycles being really long or really short, where you don't have time to ovulate, or you can tell that your hormones just never peak high enough to actually let the egg out, right? They've got to reach a certain level for your body to know, okay, it's time to ovulate. And maybe they don't reach that high. If you know that that's what's happening for you, usually the first stop is to start these pills because they're so non-invasive for the most part. They're easy. You just pop a pill once a day and you track your cycles and you see what happens. This is also the first stop for most OBs. If you go to your obstetrician and you say, hey, we've been trying for 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, like my friend was, and we're still not seeing that positive pregnancy test, this is what they're going to put you on. And I want to mention here, okay, that just because you're not getting pregnant does not mean it's because you're not ovulating. I'm going to say that again. You not getting pregnant is not just an indicator that you're not ovulating. It could be a whole host of anything else. So many different things that could be going on. So if your doctor is suggesting to get on Clomid or Femara, saying, okay, you've been trying for X number of months, it's not working, I'm going to prescribe this to you, track your cycles, come back in 3 months and tell me what happens. Or come back in 3 months if you're not pregnant yet, and we'll figure out what else to do. If that's what they're saying, I want you to stop. And I want you to ask them for a fertility blood work. Fertility blood workup. Because you've got to figure out what the actual problem is. And in addition to that fertility blood workup, you've got to ask them to test your male partner. Because it could be that you're ovulating just fine and there's an issue with his sperm. Okay, so I don't want you to assume that just because you're not getting pregnant, it's your body that needs extra medication. That may not necessarily be the case. So my personal belief is before any doctor tells me to take a pill and before I actually even take it, I want to know what's going on. Let's do the blood workup. And if your OB won't do it, go see a reproductive endocrinologist. You can go to see them just for the blood work and you don't have to see them again. It's totally fine. If you want to stay away from specialists, and that's fine. I have friends who told me flat out, if it's going to take me to see a reproductive endocrinologist to have a baby, I'm not doing it. So if that's how you feel, that's okay. have them do the blood workup, see what the situation is, and then see if that's the right step for you. Okay? For some women, they try Clomid and Femara, or maybe they're not candidates for it. The next step is injectable medications. Now, these are the ones that you see in the movies, on the reality TV shows. When I was going through my fertility treatment, there was a show on E! With Juliana Rancic and what was her husband's name? Something. They have a restaurant in Chicago, right? RGB or something. I can't remember. REM or something like that. There's a really popular Italian restaurant in Chicago that they started. They had a TV show. They had a reality show. She used to be an anchor or somebody on E! News and at the awards shows and stuff. And I remember there is a scene where she was going through IVF. She's actually been through quite a lot on her fertility journey. And I remember watching her. And she was going through IVF at the time too. And she had gone through and done, she'd shown how she was doing her injectable medications on screen. And this was like right before we had started IVF. So I was watching her and I was like, oh my God, she's cringing so hard. Ah, this looks really painful. I don't want to do it. And then I did them myself and I did not find the injections to be that bad. One of them burned quite a bit, but the other one wasn't so bad. So, you know, these are the ones that you see, right? Like really played up on TV. And you do the injections and then you see the woman just going like totally crazy because of all the hormones raging everywhere. So these injectables are hormones that stimulate the ovaries to produce a follicle, just like Clomid and Letrozole, like we just talked about, except that it's a much stronger way of doing it. It's much harder than the pills that you're taking. And so usually what ends up happening is you develop many, many follicles, more than you would on, say, Clomid or Letrozole. Usually on that, that's when you see two coming up and then you hear about twins frequently. These injectables can often create and grow many more follicles than that. So you can have 3, 4, 5 when you're doing IVF, which we'll talk about in a second, then you get actually up to like 10, 15, 20 of them because you need to do that to make the cycle worthwhile in a much bigger picture. We'll get into that in a second. So these injectables, what you can do is if Clomid or Femara is not working, right? It's not stimulating your ovaries enough, meaning you're on the highest dose of those pills and you're just not ovulating the way that you should, or your hormone levels are just not rising the way that they should, your doctor might recommend injectables. And these are injections that you take for several days during your cycle. And the idea is to raise your hormones high enough so that the follicle grows and grows and grows in your ovary. And then your body gets the hint to go, oh, we've reached that level. Let's shoot out an egg. Or in some cases, 2 eggs or 3 eggs, right? We've reached that level. Let's go. And so like with Clomid or Femara, even with injectables, you can do injectables with timed intercourse at home. You can do injectables with an IUI, which we'll talk about in a second, or you can pair injectables with IVF. Okay, these injectables are just about getting your ovaries to wake up and to ovulate because like we said earlier, right? If you don't ovulate, there's a 0% chance you're getting pregnant that month. The next step is IUI, intrauterine insemination. This is what you've probably heard called the turkey baster method or artificial insemination. That's what it used to be called. It sounds so horrible when you say it that way, but that's what it used to be called. What they do is very often IUI is paired with either Clomid or injectables. It really depends on how your ovaries are working. Okay, and IUI is a really great option if your male partner has some sperm quality issues, maybe low motility or low morphology. It just makes sure that the sperm get to where they need to go much more consistently than if you were to do timed intercourse. Because what happens is they collect the sperm and they put it into a long catheter. This is, which is why it gets the name the turkey baster method. I swear to, I did my first IUI right after Thanksgiving. I was doing my injectables, actually. I was doing my injections through Thanksgiving, and my IUI was at the very beginning of December. That was my very first cycle of fertility treatment. And I swear that Thanksgiving, I could not keep a straight face. Every time they pulled out the turkey to baste it, I'm just like, oh my God, this is what's happening in a few weeks. I just couldn't get that. I couldn't get that image out of my head. It was terrible. So what they do is they put they treat the semen, usually. They put it in the catheter, and then they guide the catheter. So what happens in timed intercourse is the male partner, he ejaculates into the vagina, right? And then some sperm make it up through the cervix, up through the uterus, up through the fallopian tubes and find the egg. And much of it falls out. Here, they take the catheter and they actually go through the cervix with the catheter so that all of the sperm end up in the uterus, right? So it basically gives them a head start. It buys them time. It buys them extra space. They have less distance to travel, right? So it can be really helpful if you have a partner with sperm quality issues. And then from there, they let the sperm go. There is some that comes out, but many more of them make it to the fallopian tube, and many more of them then make it to the egg, which hopefully you have ovulated by that point, right? This is also a really great option if you are considering donor sperm. So I have several friends actually who are single moms who didn't want to wait to get married to have children. And so they went the donor sperm route and they did an IUI with donor sperm. There's no fertility issues. They just didn't have a partner. Or somebody I have a friend whose husband has sperm quality issues that they tried everything. There was just nothing they could do to improve it. They did really everything, went to the moon and back, and they just couldn't figure it out. And so they decided to look into donor sperm. There was no female factor fertility issues there. So they got donor sperm, and this was a much less invasive way of getting her pregnant, basically. Okay. I will say also here, though, that IUI is not right for everybody. And this is something I wish that I had known before I had done my IUI. So IUI is not recommended for women who have moderate to severe endometriosis. And I really wish that my doctor had told me that or had known that, because the chance of having some complication, like what happened to me, which was a ruptured ectopic pregnancy, the chance of that is much higher if you have moderate to severe endometriosis, because if you have that level of endometriosis, likely you're going to have one or both tubes with some kind of blockage or damage or something where it's going to impact your ability to get pregnant. And for me, what happened was I did get pregnant because I conceived, and as the embryo was coming down the tube that was broken, that's actually a terrible thing to say. It was not broken. It just didn't function. Okay, there we go. It was damaged from the endometriosis. And as it came down, it actually implanted into the endometrial tissue. That's what the theory was what happened, because endometriosis is really just the endometrial tissue that you find in the uterus. It's just somewhere else. And so the embryo was like, oh, great, we're home, and implanted and grew and grew and grew, except that your fallopian tube is not meant to carry a baby, and it eventually outgrew its space and the tube ruptured. And that's how I had my ruptured ectopic experience, which was terrifying when we looked back on it. And it's very dangerous. Ectopic pregnancy is very, very dangerous. So if you know you have moderate to severe endometriosis and your doctor is pushing an IUI, I would push back. I would really push back because it's not worth it. It's just, even if you do the test to see if your tubes are open, even if you see that the tubes are there's fluid flowing through them, anything, you still can't guarantee that the tubes are functional. There's no way to know that. We don't have a test for that yet. We can test that the tubes are open, but we can't test that they're functional. Not yet anyway. So that's what I recommend, just kind of as a aside about that. So we've talked about natural methods of getting pregnant, pills like Clomid or Letrozole, injections, those hormones that you inject to help you stimulate your ovaries to produce a follicle, IUI, which you can do with Clomid or, you know, with the pills, or you can do them with injectables. IUI is intrauterine insemination, which was used to be called artificial insemination. I think people still call it that, but that's what it was. And then you've got IVF, in vitro fertilization. This is what they used to call creating a test tube baby, which is kind of bizarre because there are actually no test tubes involved at all. There are many petri dishes, but no test tubes. And this is where you have to use injectables because, as I was saying earlier, a little while back, when you do IVF, you want to actually ovulate more eggs than you would otherwise because you're not going to actually get pregnant with all of them. They're going to create embryos. And with all that your body goes through with IVF, to maximize the cycle and to maximize quality of eggs and to make sure that you're getting the most for everything you're going through, they shoot for somewhere between 10 and 15 eggs. Depending on the health conditions that you have, you might produce more or less. I was always a high producer. I always produced more than 20. But some people produce only like 6, and that's okay. It really depends on what everybody is going through and what your health is all about and what you're dealing with. And what they do is you take these injections for a certain number of days. There's different protocols for IVF. Really depends on, again, what your situation is. They stimulate your ovaries, and so they get really big, and you can feel it. You can really feel it. They feel huge. It feels like there's bowling balls in your body, and you're going, oh, what's happening to me? And you go in for frequent ultrasounds. They basically get to a point where you're just about ready to ovulate. They don't let you ovulate, though, because the whole point is then you go into a day called egg retrieval, where they surgically, it's not actually surgery, they don't cut you open. They go in vaginally, but they take out as many mature eggs as they can and they save them, simply put. And then they combine it with the sperm that you've collected either from your male partner or from a donor, from donor sperm, whatever you decide to use. And then they create embryos. And if you remember the episode that we did with Dr. Amy Avazadeh, there's a couple ways to do this. You can just put an egg in each petri dish, and then you put some sperm in the petri dish, and you just kind of, as naturally as possible, let them figure it out, okay, which is what we did for our first cycle. Or you can do ICSI, which is intracytoplasmic something something. I should have looked this up. It's basically they take one sperm and they literally inject it into the egg. So again, if you've got sperm quality issues, if you've got any kind of egg issues that is affecting how well the sperm can penetrate or anything like that, it circumvents all of that. Okay. Or there's ICSI, where they actually test the sperm and then they pick the best one and then they inject that into the egg. Okay. And these are all methods to help with conception rates, because now you've created embryos in a petri dish and then they let them grow for a few days and then either they do a fresh transfer back at day 3 or day 5, or they freeze them all for you to use when you're ready. You can also test your embryos. So if you've gotten to a point where your doctor's thinking, hey, there might be something wrong with the embryos, which, you know, if you've had recurrent pregnancy loss, if you have some kind of hereditary issue going on in your body, or any kind of genetic disorder that you know about, or if you have any kind of health issue, or you just want to know, you know, or if you're older, if your age is older for males or females, or both, if either of you are on the older side, this is a great way to figure out which embryos are chromosomally normal. And by chromosomally normal, we mean, do they have the right number of chromosomes? And you can test for that. You can test for certain disorders. You can test to see how healthy the embryos. It is not 100%. Just because they come back with a negative test result for anything that you've tested for does not guarantee that you're going to get pregnant with that embryo, but it increases your chances. Okay. This is also possible to do with donor sperm, with donor egg, or with a donor embryo. There are people who have extra embryos and they're done creating their families who donate them to couples who can't create embryos or maybe don't want to create embryos. So there's a lot of variation in this that you can really try out and do. It's invasive. It is hard on the body. The hormone injections are difficult. The hormone levels that you try to achieve are unnatural and they're very high. It is not meant for everybody, but it is something that many, many couples try because they've tried everything else or they don't have any other options and this is kind of their next step. Okay. Beyond that, then there's surrogacy or working with a gestational carrier, which is exactly the process of IVF, except instead of transferring the embryo back in your body, they put it in somebody else's body. And we did a whole episode on that with Eloise Drain on what surrogacy and gestational carriers are all about. So I will link that in the show notes. If you missed that one, definitely check it out because it was really, really interesting about what this process was like. This also you can do with donor egg, donor sperm, or donor embryo, or with your own egg and sperm too. There's a lot of different variations here. And then there is adoption, which you can consider if you have tried everything else to create a biological child and you just cannot, or the options that you have left are not ones that you want to consider. Adoption is an option. And then you've got living child-free, which I know several couples who have chosen to do because they looked at the options that they had available to them and they said, you know what? My body cannot handle that, or I don't want to put my body through that, or it just, we don't have the money for it because a lot of these things are quite expensive. You know, we talked about surrogacy in that episode being very expensive. Most or much of it is not covered under insurance. IVF just now, and IUIs and injectables are just now starting to get covered just a little bit, depending on your coverage plan. So that is also an option. And a lot of couples, I think, get scared to think about that because it feels like they're giving up and, oh gosh, it's over and I'm not really fighting for our family. And that's just not true. That's just not true because there is no one size fits all when it comes to fertility treatment. It doesn't exist. There's no one path that everybody follows and goes on to create their family. And that if you try all these 17 different things, then adoption or living child-free is the only option. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. You've got to listen to your body to know which options are best for you and your particular situation. Now, choosing any of these options, though, doesn't mean there isn't grief involved. Right? Every step, every little bit that you have to do purposefully with intervention of any kind, even if it's just popping a pill every month, even if it's, I know for some couples, just tracking their cycles was enough to feel like I've lost control in this whole process. Wherever you are on this process, there is grief involved because there's a loss. There is a loss, and it is really important that you allow yourself to grieve these losses, because you know that if you don't, it adds stress to your body. And you know what I'm going to say, that stress does affect your ability to get pregnant. So give yourself the opportunity to grieve these losses. It is okay, and it is important that you do that. So we talked about a bunch of different types of options on how to grow your family. We talked about the natural method. We talked about pills like Clomid or Femara. We talked about injectable hormones that can really very strongly stimulate your ovaries to produce eggs. We talked about IUI, intrauterine insemination, that used to be called artificial insemination. We talked about IVF, in vitro fertilization, and how you can do ICSI. Oh, intracytoplasmic sperm injection. Ah, it just came to me. Ah, thank God. I was not going to be able to sleep today if I hadn't remembered that. So we talked about ICSI, intracytoplasmic sperm injection, which is taking sperm and injecting it directly into the egg. We talked about PICSI, which is actually choosing a particular sperm based on how good it is and injecting it into the egg. We talked about testing those embryos to see if they're chromosomally normal. We talked about donor egg, donor sperm, donor embryos, and that all of those options can actually work with a surrogate or a gestational carrier if you can't carry the pregnancy yourself. And then the options of adoption and living child-free are also on the table. There is no one-size-fits-all when it comes to fertility treatment or how you grow your family. You have to listen to your body to know which options are best for you. Now, I know what you're thinking. How do I figure that out? There are so many options and I don't know what to do. Or maybe you're having a really strong reaction right now. I would never inject myself. That sounds so ludicrous and so terrible. I would never do that. Or the flip side, I would never stop. I would never stop trying everything. I would inject myself 700 times every day if I had to, just to make sure I had a baby. All of those feelings are okay. Trust them, because they are going to guide you to know what the right step is for you. Because here's the thing, fertility treatment or growing your family when you have fertility challenges, it's a journey. It's a process, which I fully acknowledge is part of the reason why it's so infuriating, because it just feels like it goes on forever without it having an end. But you're allowed to change your mind partway through. Nobody's stopping you. You can say right here, right now, I'm going to do everything. I'm never going to stop. There's no end to this. I'm going to do absolutely anything and everything that people tell me to do. And then you're partway on your journey and you go, God, I'm tired. I don't know that I want to do this anymore. Or the opposite. If you're feeling like there's no way on earth that I would ever inject myself, that sounds so barbaric, that's never happening. And then you try what you've tried, and that's the next option they've given you, and you start to consider it. That's okay too. You are allowed to change your mind in whatever direction you want to change it. It's your journey. It's your body. And it's your family. You get to choose these things. And if you're having trouble figuring out which direction to go in, and you feel like your doctor just keeps pushing more and more with these medications or things that you just don't want to try or they don't feel right for you, here's what you can do. Schedule a fertility wellness consultation with me, and you and I can talk it through. Your options, your decisions, we can weigh the pros and cons, and you can do that with a professional who's personally gone through almost every single one of these options that I talked to you about today. So you know I get it. I know how heavy these decisions are and what huge consequences each of them have. And I know the heartbreak and the worries and the anxiety. And I also know how to help you make decisions and help you prepare for what lies ahead so you don't regret a single decision that you make. So if that sounds interesting to you, you can grab a spot for the fertility wellness consultation. It's just 60 minutes. Head over to barijatdeshpande.com/DM fertility. DM like delivering miracles, DM fertility. There's no one size fits all when it comes to fertility treatment. And sometimes that's frustrating because you just want somebody to tell you what to do next that's going to work. But if you listen to your body, you are going to know which options are best for you. Every single time, you'll know it. Thank you so much for joining me here today. And if you enjoyed today's episode, I would love it if you can head over to iTunes and leave a review so more and more women who are struggling through fertility challenges can tune into Delivering Miracles for inspiration and tips and motivation on how to grow their families in a way that feels good and right for them. And seriously, if you're trying to figure out how or when or if to continue growing your family and you feel like your head is just stuck in this tornado of nonstop uncertainties, I'm here for you. Schedule a 60-minute fertility wellness consultation, and we'll review exactly what you've been through and what steps you can take that are absolutely right for you going forward so you can gain some clarity in the madness of all of this. Just head over to barijatdeshpande.com/DM fertility, and I can't wait to chat with you soon. And I'd also love to stay in touch. So follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at barijatdesh. That's PARIJATDESH. It's a lot to think about. It's a lot to process, a lot to digest, a lot to make sense of, a lot to come to terms with when you're dealing with fertility challenges of any kind. You are not alone in this. And despite the heartbreak, the devastation, the loss of hope, the overwhelm, and everything that you might be feeling right now, I do promise you one thing. I promise you that you will find peace. Take it one day, one step at a time. You can do this.